And the Brahman, taking this maha prasad that the Lord had eaten, he just started crying. Tears were flowing from his eyes, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling. He began to dance and dance as he was chanting the holy names. And he was taking the rice and he was eating it and he was smearing it. And they got up and they came. And when he saw them coming, he became very peaceful. They said, "What happened?" He said, "The offering was a success." They were very relieved to hear. When they saw the Brahmin eating, not only eating, food was all over his body. So they were thinking he was satisfied very much. They were very happy. And the Brahmin was very anxious to tell them, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is living in your house and you don't even know it." His heart was just bursting with the desire to just tell the truth to the whole world that Krishna has appeared in the beautiful form of Sachinanda and Gaurhari. But he promised the Lord he would not tell. That Brahmin remained always in Navadvip. He never left. And every day he would come to Jagannath Mishra's house to beg. And every day, to his heart's full transcendental satisfaction, he would behold the beautiful darshan of his worshipable Lord Gopal, Gaur Gopal. Nimai was very restless. Krishna says in Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokameshwaram, that he is the proprietor of everything that exists. So being the proprietor of everything, sometimes this child Nimai would want everything. He would tell his mother, he would see the moon. He would say, "Mataji, give me the moon. I want the moon." And sometimes he would see the stars. And he would say, "Mataji, I want all those stars. Give me those stars." And sometimes he would see birds flying overhead. He said, "Mataji, I want that bird. Give me that bird." And what could Sachi Mata do? But when she was unable to give him the moon, the stars, and the birds to hold in his hand, he would become so angry. He would become so outraged that he would just cry and cry and cry and roll in the ground and beat his fists in the ground and weep. And the only way that people could possibly pacify him is when everyone came around him and began to clap their hands and loudly chant the holy names of the Lord. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. But on one day, he was crying and crying and crying. And everyone came around and very loudly began to chant the holy names. But he kept crying. So they chanted more. But he still cried. And more, and more. And finally, with all their devotion and all their hearts, very loudly, they were just crying out the names of Krishna. He continued to cry. They didn't know what to do. They said, "Nimai, we're chanting. Stop crying." And he continued to cry. "What do you want?" He said that there are two devotees, Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit. And they have cooked a special offering at their house I want to eat that food. And Sachimata was thinking, this is impossible. These people live two miles away. But then the people said, we'll get you anything. So they ran to Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit, who were very, very dear, loving friends of Jagannath Mishra. So they went to Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit's house. And when they were told that the child Nimai was asking, he said that today is Ekadasi. And today we made a very, very special feast for the deities. How could this child possibly know this? So they came and brought the offerings and they placed them before the child. And Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit, as they saw the child eating a little piece of from every preparation, they were thinking that this child is extraordinary. This child, Lord Narayan himself, is living within his heart. How could he know these wonderful things? How could he understand our devotion? And in this way, Nimai was fully satisfied. He took prasad, and then he distributed that prasad to others. And then he asked everyone to start chanting. And everyone started a beautiful kirtan, chanting the holy names. And as they were chanting, Nimai began to dance, to everyone's great satisfaction, smiling upon them all. At this particular time in Nimai's life, as a child, he became very mischievous. In fact, he would spend most of his day, every day, in the river Ganges, playing with his friends. And they would quarrel, and they would swim, and they would float in the water, and they would play so many games, that no one had any peace of mind. Because Navadweep, Ganga was the center of the whole culture. People would come there to bathe 3 times a day, people would come there to perform their rituals, their pujas, their meditation. And Nimai and his friends, when people would come, he would splash them with water. He would spit water on them. He would throw sand on them. So they had to bathe again and again and again. And the Brahmins who were coming to the Ganga, they were unable to catch him. He was so fast. So they decided to go to Jagannath Mishra to complain. Nimai had been in school, and they told him, your son isn't even going to school. He's just bathing, and he's causing so much disturbance. And one Brahmin said, that we cannot bathe. While I'm meditating, he starts splashing water on me. And then he says, I am the object of your meditation. You should meditate on me only. And another Brahmin, he said, your son, I was worshipping Lord Shiva in the form of a Shiva Linga, and he ran and he jumped and he stole my Shiva Linga and ran away. And another Brahmin said, he stole my clothes while I was bathing in the Ganges and never brought them back. And another Brahmin said, we were worshipping Vishnu, and he sat on Vishnu's throne and started eating all the food we were offering to Vishnu. Another Brahmin said, I was chanting Gayatri, half submerged in Ganga. And all of a sudden he swam underwater and grabbed my feet and pulled me into the water. Another Brahmin said, I was reading Bhagavad Gita and he came and stole it from me. Another Brahmin said, I took my little child, a baby, to the Ganga with me, and he started putting water in the child's ears to make him cry. And another Brahmin said, he jumped on my shoulders and said, I am Lord Shiva! And another Brahmin, he came and he said, while we're bathing, we have our ghat, the ladies have their ghat. He took all the men's clothes and put it on the women's side, and he took all the women's side and put it on the men's side. And then we all came out of the Ganges. What to do? This is not just something he does once. He does this every day. 6 hours continuously he remains in the Ganges with his friends. How will your son maintain his health? So Jagannath Mishra became very much upset. And then some young ladies, little girls, they came to Sachi Mata. And they bowed down to her feet and said, oh, respected Mataji, please hear about your son. We go to Ganga and he steals our clothes. And he insults us. And then he splashes water on us. Then he spits on us. And then he picks quarrels with us. And we take fruits and flowers to worship the Supreme Lord. And he steals those fruits and flowers. And as we come out of the bathing, he throws sand all over us. And sometimes he sneaks up from behind us. And he shouts in our ears. Another girl said, he came up to me and he spit in my face, Ganges water. And another girl said, he took itchy Okada seeds and poured them in my hair. And another girl said, he told me he wants to marry me. And other girls were explaining that when we're worshiping Lord Vishnu, he comes and sits on the throne of Vishnu and said, give me your offerings. I am Vishnu. I am your Lord. Actually, we are worshiping the Lord to get a good husband. And those who give their offerings to your son, he tells them, you will get a very handsome husband who has lots of money and who will take nice care of you. And those girls that run away with their offerings, he said, if you do not bring your offerings back, you will have an old, ugly husband with 4 co-wives. So they run back. We have to run back and give him all our offerings. He does this every day. And Sachi Macha, when she heard all these stories, she began to smile. And she embraced each of the girls. And she told them, you just be kind to my Nimai. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra, thinking that it is his duty as a father to train his son to be well behaved, he went to the Ganges, fuming with anger with a stick in his hand. And the young girls who had just talked to Sachi, they came running very fast. They said, Nimai, Nimai, your father is coming with a stick. He will give you a beating. You better run away. So Nimai told his friends, when my father comes, tell them that you are waiting for me in the Ganges and I haven't come yet to take my bath from school. And then Nimai very intelligently took another path back home. And when he arrived at home, Sachi Mata was there, and she saw her Nimai, and his limbs were covered with dust. He had spots of ink from his school. He was still holding his books. There wasn't the slightest sign that he had been in the water. His beautiful, beautiful black hair was flowing, was completely dry. She said, Nimai, have you gone for your bath? He said, no, I'm just now going for my bath. First, I'm coming home from school. And Sachimata began to embrace him. How is this possible? Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra arrived on the bank of Ganga. And he started looking in all directions. Where is Vishwambar? Where is he? He started looking and looking. He started asking everyone, where is my son? Where is Vishwambar? And the children said, oh, he has not come today. We're all waiting for him. He hasn't come from school. And Jagannath Mishra didn't understand. And then the Brahmins went up to Jagannath Mishra. And he said, actually, he was here. But he knew you were coming, so he ran home. But please know that we love when he does these things. It is our greatest joy in life. We were not angry with him. We only complained to you just to joke. They came to complain because they were feeling great ecstasy just glorifying the Lord's pastimes. But you are the most fortunate. Who can be so fortunate to have a son like Vishwambar? Jagannath Mishra, he embraced these Brahmins with great happiness and peace in his heart. And he said, please give your blessings to my son. And if he misbehaves, please come and tell me. And they said, yes, you are most fortunate. In fact, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that if the Vedas took 10 million forms, and each of those forms had 10 million tongues and mouths, they would not altogether be able to calculate the good fortune of Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata for experiencing the wonderful childhood pastimes of Nimai Pandit. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! One time, Mother Sachi, should I continue? One time, Mother Sachi gave Nimai some nice fused rice. And then she began to perform her seva for her child. And he put down the fused rice and he began to eat dirt. And when Sachimata came and saw his hands, his mouth were filled with dirt, she said, what are you doing? I have given you nice prasad, so many sweets. Why are you eating dirt? He said, Mataji, why are you saying like this? What is the difference between sweetmeats and dirt? They are both transformations of the earth. Therefore, they are one. Everything is one, ache. And Sachimata, when she heard this, she became very disturbed. She said, my child, where have you heard this Mayavad philosophy? Everything is one. He was preaching the theory of illusion. She said, this philosophy is not practical. Sweetmeats may be coming from the same place as the earth, but if you eat earth, you will become sick. And if you eat sweetmeats, you will become healthy. Similarly, you take earth and make a pot. And with that pot, you can carry water. But if you put water on the earth, it will simply cause a mess of mud. In this way, Sachimata declared the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. How everything, God and the living entity, the living entity in material nature, Bhagavan in material nature, the different living entities with other living entities, and all the objects and all of the elements within material nature, everything that exists is simultaneously one and different from the Lord and His energies within phenomena. And this is the practical understanding of the Absolute Truth. So in this way, Sachimata, who was just a simple housewife, completely defeated the Mayavad philosophy of Shankaracharya. And when little Nimai heard this, he said, "Thank you, Mataji. Why didn't you teach me this philosophy before? Today I will drink the milk from your body." And he jumped on Sachimata's lap, and she began to feed him milk from her breast. One day, Nimai was playing with his friends on the bank of Ganga, and many little puppy dogs came. So Nimai selected the most beautiful of all the puppies and started playing. And his friend said, "Why you picked the most beautiful and left the ugly ones for us?" And Nimai said, no, we can all play together. You come to my house and we will all play with this beautiful puppy." So they came back to the house of Nimai Pandit and they all started playing with the puppy together. But one of the children became angry out of playfulness. And he left, and he saw Sachimata, and he said, "Your son is playing with dogs." She said, "What? How is this possible?" So she came to the house, and she saw Nimai playing with a dog. She said, "Nimai, what are you doing? You are a Brahmin. You are the son of Jagannath Mishra. Your grandfather is Nilambar Chakravarti. This is not according to the Brahmin tradition, to bring dogs in your house and play. This dog is dirty, and your friends, they're all dirty. You go to the Ganges and you take a nice bath." And Nimai said, "No, I love this dog. Please do not take this dog away from me. This dog is my friend. Puppy dog." And Sachimata said, "All right. But you kindly go take your bath in Ganga." Nimai said, "But you protect my dog." So he went to take bath in Ganga, and then the dog ran away. And he came back, and he said, "Where is my puppy? Where is he gone? What have you done, Mataji? You took him away. He's my friend. I love him. Why have you removed my puppy?" And Sachi said, no, I didn't do it. We will find him. Somehow we will find him. We will look everywhere. We will bring him back to you." And then she started decorating Nimai with garlands and giving him nice prasad. And meanwhile, the puppy went into the town of Navadweep and started exhibiting symptoms of ecstatic love. Because this puppy became dear to Lord Gauranga, started raising his arms and dancing in ecstasy, loudly chanting the holy names. As he was chanting, he was inducing everyone to chant the holy names. And people were struck with wonder to see this little baby puppy dancing and chanting. Tears were flowing from his eyes like Ganga. And his limbs were trembling. The 8 symptoms of ecstatic love were decorating this puppy's body. And then right before everyone's eyes, while chanting the holy name of Lord Hari, the puppy died. And everyone was thinking, this is very auspicious. This puppy died chanting Harinam. And right at that moment, a beautiful beautiful, pure gold chariot descended from the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. And on this chariot were celestial spiritual beings, the Lord's own personal associates. This chariot had beautiful golden domes and was decorated with invaluable jewels. And these beautiful personalities took the body of the dog and placed it on the chariot. And before everyone's eyes, at that very moment, the puppy dog resumed his original spiritual form, his eternal swarup. And the devatas came down and they started showering flowers on that dog, that puppy. And they all began to chant the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Gaurhari. That golden chariot ascended and took the puppy on that very day back to the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan. And the demigods and the sages, they were weeping and crying in ecstatic love and joyfully dancing and having kirtan of the holy names of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That what other incarnation has shown such mercy that just by touching and glancing upon an insignificant baby puppy dog, he has given him entrance to the highest destination of the spiritual world. They all began to chant with very loud and gracious voices, Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. One day, Sachi Mata was going to perform puja to the goddess Shashti, along with her friends. The reason why she would perform this Shashti puja was to invoke her mercy to protect her child, Bhimai. So she had wonderful, wonderful offerings of sweetmeats that she was bringing to the deity of Shashti Devi. And as she was going to the temple, Nimai happened to see her on the way. And he blocked her way. And Sachimata said, why you are blocking my path? He said, where are you going? I am going to make this offering to Shashti Devi. He said, you should make this offering to me. And then he grabbed all the sweets and ate them. And Sachimata said, how can you do this? You are making an aparad to the goddess. He said, no. When putting the water on the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches and twigs of the tree are satisfied. I am the source of everything that exists. All the demigods and goddesses are my servants. By satisfying me, everyone is fulfilled. And Sachimata could not understand what he was talking. So in her parental love, she went to the deity of Goddess Shashti and she begged, please, O goddess, please forgive my child for this offense. He's only a child. He doesn't know what any better. Please always protect him. Please let him never die. Let him always remain with me in happiness. And then Sachimata went to all of her friends, lady friends, and she began to pray to all of them, please, please bless my child, that he will always be protected, he will always be happy, and he will live forever. In this way, Sachimata exhibited the intimate nature of her motherly love for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Murari Gupta was walking with some of his friends and he was reciting verses from Yoga Vasishta, discussing the glories of Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. And Nimai began to follow behind him and began to make fun of him. Whatever Murari Gupta said, Nimai would say the same thing in a voice that sounded almost just like Murari Gupta, but it made everyone laugh. Murari Gupta would say that we should perform yoga. And Nimai would say, we should perform yoga. And everything he said, Nimai was doing this. And Murari Gupta was becoming very angry. He was embarrassing him terribly. And Murari Gupta said, why you are doing like this? And Nimai said, when you are eating your lunch prasad today, you will have a very, very sublime realization. Then he left. So Murari Gupta went home and he was served his lunch. At that time, Nimai dressed himself in a very disguised way. He put his hair in knots and put cosmetics on his face and was wearing very beautiful opulent clothing. And as Murari Gupta was eating, he started calling out, Hari, Hari! And Murari Gupta said, who is this? Who is this? And then Nimai ran in the house. And he ran right to where Murari Gupta was taking his prasad. And right in the middle of the meal, before Murari Gupta's eyes, the illustrious personality of God and in his beautiful form of Nimai Pandit passed urine in his rice. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Murari Gupta was shocked. He wasn't expecting such a thing. He said, why did you do this? And Nimai Pandit replied that you should not mix bhakti with karma and jnana and yoga. In other words, Nimai Pandit was teaching the lesson that bhakti is like nice prasad. And these other systems of religion, which are materially inclined, it is like passing urine in your nice prasad. And then he ran away. And Murari Gupta, who was this? What was this? This was the realization. And then he went, I think this might be Nimai. So he went to Nimai's house and he saw Vishwambar in the arms of Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata. They were simply embracing him and kissing him with so much love. And Murari Gupta fell and offered his obeisances, understanding that this is actually the personality of Godhead. But even though he understood, by the power of the Lord, all these people would forget as soon as they would understand, just to maintain the intimacy of the relationships. One day, they would play so many games with his friends. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, however many games have ever been invented or created in the history of creation, Nimai played them with his friends. And then they would invent more. One game is they would have race to the Ganga. But you had to count every footprint of the birds on the way. So they would all be counting the bird footprints. And then they would see how many footprints and who could get to the Ganga first. Another day on the bank of the Ganga, Vishwambar began playing Hari Nam game, where he started getting all the children to chant Hari Hari. And he was in the middle of the children and he was dancing And all the children were around him, going in circles and all sorts of other nice formations, and they were all very loudly calling out, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And this was such a beautiful sight. Just like Gopal Krishna. When he was on the bank of the Jamuna, his friends would be gathered around him. Sometimes they would be taking prasad, sometimes they would be dancing, sometimes they would be singing. On this particular day, Nimai was inducing all of his friends to be dancing with their arms raised, singing in so many ways, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And some very, very cultured, distinguished Brahmins happened to be walking along the bank of Ganga. And when they saw this, they saw the beauty of the Lord and His friends dancing and heard the holy names. They became completely intoxicated with love of God. And they just started jumping around with the children chanting, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And then very grave, elderly pilgrims happened to be walking along the Ganga. And when they saw the Brahmins and the children, all with Lord Chaitanya dancing and singing, they all began to join, jumping, dancing, singing, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
In this way, they were all mad, like madmen, chanting, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Child Nimai was making everyone mad. And then Sachi Mata came. And she saw all these men and all these children jumping around and dancing, and she became very angry. She started chastising the Brahmins. What are you doing to my son? You have made him like a madman. You should be ashamed of yourself dancing and singing like this, like children. What have you done to my son? And she took him away. Nimai very smilingly went along with his mother. And when she chastised, she broke them out of their madness. And they were looking at each other. What are we doing? What are we doing? Who are we? What have we done? Lord Chaitanya was very mischievous. And whenever Sachi Mata would correct him or instruct him what he shouldn't do, he would do that same thing twice as much. So ultimately, Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra were just happy to have such a loving, beautiful child. Although Nimai was very, very naughty, his eldest brother, Vishwaroop, was very grave, very serious Vaishnava. Although he was just a young boy, he could not tolerate seeing the face of materialistic people who did not decorate their mouths with the name of Krishna, whose hearts were not dedicated to the service of Krishna. In order to avoid seeing materialistic people, Vishwaroop early morning would go to the Ganges to take bath alone. Then he would go to Advaitacharya's house to be with the devotees, and he would spend the whole day there. And the devotees loved Vishwaroop. When Vishwaroop recited the scriptures, he recited with such devotion, always explaining the supreme glories of pure unalloyed bhakti. He knew no other subject than pure devotion to Krishna. And when he would explain these subjects, Advaitacharya and the other Vaishnavas would roar in ecstasy to hear his wonderful words of devotion. Vishwaroop became the very life and soul of all the devotees. He wouldn't give up the association of Advaita, Srivas, Mukunda, and others for anything. And at noontime, Sachi Mata would ask Vishwambhar, please bring your brother Vishwaroop back for lunch prasad. So in the middle of the katha and the kirtan, Vishwambhar would appear. And he would take his brother by the cloth, dhoti, and pull and say, Mataji is calling you for prasad. when he appeared, all the Vaishnavas who were chanting the holy names, they became so enraptured by the beautiful charms of this child, they couldn't even sing Krishna's names anymore. Their hearts were filled with the same love as if they saw Krishna directly. Unblinking, they would just look at the child. And then Vishwambar would take Vishwarupa and they would run back to the home. And Advaitacharya and the others began to wonder, who is this child? Why, just upon seeing him, our hearts are flooded with ecstatic love? This was a great mystery. As soon as Vishwarupa would take his prasad, he would go in the temple to worship Lord Vishnu and immediately go back to Advaitacharya's house, where he would spend the rest of the day simply hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Krishna. And in the evenings, when it was time for him to return home, he would just go in the temple of Vishnu and hear and chant the glories of the Lord and then take rest. And that was his whole life. Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra were thinking that in order to keep this child home, it is the proper time to get him married. When Vishwarup heard that they were making plans for his marriage, in the middle of the night, without saying anything to anyone, he disappeared. He left his home, and he accepted the renounced order of sannyas and took the name Shankararanya and began to travel to all the holy places throughout India. When Jagannath Misa, Shachi Mata and Nimai heard the news that Vishwarup, without saying anything to anyone, has left home to take sannyas, they were struck with sorrow. Their hearts were broken. They were weeping and they were crying. In fact, all the people of Nadia were crying that Vishwarup had left. And the relatives were holding Jagannath Mishra's hand, saying, "Actually, Jagannath Mishra, you are so fortunate. Your son has taken sannyas. If in a family a son takes sannyas and becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, millions of ancestors are delivered. This is the perfection of your parenthood. Please be happy." Nothing happens without the arrangement of the Lord. And Nimai himself, he fainted when he heard his brother took sannyas. And he was also weeping and crying in separation from his beloved brother. But somehow or other he consoled his parents. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra began to meditate on the instructions of the people. And he would feel pacified. But then at the next moment, he would think of the qualities of Vishwarupa and again his heart would break and he would just fall to the ground crying. And then he began to meditate on the philosophy of the Absolute Truth, that everything happens by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is Krishna who has given me this son, and it is Krishna who has taken him away. We are all simply subjected to the sweet, inconceivable, and all-merciful will of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. But Nimai explained that, "Have no fear, I am with you." And the people of the town were telling Jagannath Mishra, "You may have lost Vishwarup, but you have Vishwambar. What greater fortune could you have than that?" After Vishwarup left, Nimai became very serious. He stopped playing all of his games, and he started becoming very serious about studies. And this began to worry Jagannath Mishra. One day he told Sachimata, that our son is studying the scriptures. And the scriptures explain how this whole world is an illusion. How all the pleasures and joys of this world is illusory. And by studying the scriptures, he will become detached from the pleasures of this world. And I fear our son, by studying like this, he is going to leave home as Vishwarupa did. Therefore, on this day, I command he will no longer study. Sachimata was very upset to hear these words. How can you stop our son from studying? If he's uneducated, how will he make his livelihood? Who will marry their daughter to him? Jagannath Mishra replied, "You are the daughter of a great Brahmin. How are you speaking these words?" Everything is happening by the arrangement of Krishna. Nothing happens without the will of Krishna. If Krishna wants our son to be wealthy and have a good family, he will have it without studying. Look at it as an example. Look at me. I'm such a learned scholar who knows the scriptures so much, but we hardly have food in our house. And there are rich people. There are men who do not even... pundits and all the Brahmins and all the scholars are coming to his house asking for donations. Therefore I say that a happy life and an opulent life is not dependent on hard work. It is not dependent on high education. It is simply dependent on the will of the Lord. And I vow that as long as I live, our child Nimai will never be in want of anything. If Krishna wants him to have nice wife and nice facilities, it will come. And then he called in Nimai and told him, "From this day on, you will not study." So Nimai didn't like this instruction. He was very unhappy because his joy was very much to study. Jagannath Mishra was so afraid that his son would follow in the footsteps of Vishwarup. When Vishwarup left, all the Vaishnavas, they were simultaneously broken-hearted in sorrow to lose his association. And at the same time, they were elated with ecstasy that this child had taken sannyas. And the Vaishnavas at Advaitacharya's house, they were thinking, how will we live without the association of such a devotee like Vishwarup? They began to weep and cry. And they were thinking, Vishwarup saw how materialistic this world is, so he has gone to the forest. So all the devotees decided, we will also go to the forest. If Vishwarup could not look at the face of these materialistic people, we will all follow in his footsteps. We will go to the forest and renounce everything of this world. And with that resolve, they were just about to leave when Advaitacharya got an inspiration. He said, "Do not go. I feel in my heart that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has already descended in this world. And in a short time, we will be dancing and chanting with him. So until that, let us be happy and loudly call out the holy names." And all the devotees began a wonderful kirtan of chanting the holy names. At that very moment, Vishwambhar appeared on the scene, clothed only in the four directions, his body covered with dust. He came into the assembly, and all the chanting stopped. And Advaitacharya asked,
Why have you come here?
And Nimai replied with a smile on his face, "Why have you called me?" And then he ran away. When Jagannath Misra told Nimai he could not study, then Nimai became uncontrolled in his restless mischief. And Jagannath Misra told Sachimata, "Just let him do anything he wants as long as he stays home. But we cannot live without him." So he began to do so many pranks with his friends. One time, not one time, every day, they would go out during the day and they would just look at what they could break and steal at night. They would see gardens of bananas, plant banana trees. And at night, three boys would put a big sheet over them and dress up as a big white bull. And then they'd go into the garden in this bull costume and knock down all the banana trees. And the person would come out who owned the plantation and he would see this big bull and he'd go, "Hi, hi, what's happening?" And then the bull would run away. And the boys would come out and start dancing and singing that they had done such nice mischief. And another thing they'd do is in the middle of the night when everyone was in their house, they would tie all the doors and windows closed from the outside. And when the people in the house had to desperately respond to the callings of nature, they couldn't get out. And in Brahminical families in those days, they never had toilets inside the house. That was unacceptable. So when it was time to come to pass stool and urine, they were pounding on the doors. "Who has done this? Let me out." And the boys would just be watching and smiling and dancing and singing that they had caused so much nice trouble to all these people. One day, somebody came and gave Nimai some betel nuts. So he ate them. And then he fell unconscious. And his mother and father came and sprinkled Ganges water on his face to bring him back to consciousness. And he came and he said, "I had a wonderful dream. In this dream, my brother Vishwaroop, he was in the robes of a sannyasi, and he took me by the hand and said, 'Come, come, Vishwabhar, come with me in the renounced order of life.'" And I told my brother that, "What about Sachimata and Jagannath Misra? They have no one but me. I will enter into the Grihastha ashram, and I will take care of our mother and father, who I love so much." And Vishwaroop was very happy. He said, "Please tell Sachimata that I offer my respectful obeisances to her." Vishwambar narrated this beautiful dream to his parents to give them confidence that he would remain home with them. One day, Jagannath Misra, for some responsibility, he left the town of Navadvip. On that day, Vishwambar, Gaurhari, he was found sitting on the top of a pile of old used pots for cooking. Of course, they cooked with wood or cow dung patties, so all the pots were black soot. So he was sitting on the top of the pile And his beautiful golden complexion was marked with all black marks from the burnt bottoms of the pot. And the people went to Sachimata and they said, "Your son, Gaurhari, he is sitting in a very contaminated place on old dirty pots." So Sachimata came and she saw him and she said, "Nimai, what are you doing? Come down. This is very, very filthy place. Come down and take your bath in Ganga." And Vishwambar replied that, "If you do not allow me to study, if it is your desire that I remain uneducated, then how do you expect me to discriminate what is clean and what is dirty, what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong?" And then he took the mood of Dattatreya. He actually manifested his bhav of Dattatreya. And he explained that actually everything is one. What is the difference between dirty pots and clean pots? I am the purifier of all the universes. Whatever I touch becomes a holy place of pilgrimage. Nothing could be dirty that touches me. I am the all pure. By my touch, everything becomes purified. He began to reveal very honestly his supreme position of Godhead. But nobody could understand due to his yogamaya potency. And he said to his mother that anyways, these pots, they were cooked for Vishnu. Therefore, anything that is used for the Vishnu service is pure. But if you do not allow me to study, how do you hope me to understand? How do you expect me to understand these ideas? And then all the people of the town that were assembled there, they all agreed with Nimai. They said to Sachimata, "Why you don't allow your child to study? What kind of mother are you? What kind of father does he have? We have children. They hate to study. We have to go through so much to get them to study for their exams and everything else. Sometimes we have to preach to them, sometimes we have to punish them, sometimes we have to take so many things away from them. It's so difficult to get a child to study, and your child loves to study. You are so lucky. Who has given you this nonsense information that your child should not study?" And then Sachimata climbed to the top of the pile of pots and brought her Nimai down and gave him bath and decorated him very nicely. That evening when Jagannath Mishra came home, Sachimata explained that our child is very unhappy that he is not allowed to study. And she told him of the day's affairs. And then the friends of the family said to Jagannath Mishra that actually everything happens by the will of Krishna. So even if he is educated, if Krishna wants to keep him home, he will stay home with you. So then Jagannath Mishra decided that he would resume his child's studies. When Nimai was just a little tiny child, years before this, there is a ceremony when they first put the chalk in the child's hands and he first hears the Vedas and learns the alphabet. Just a little boy. Within 2 or 3 days, Nimai could write every letter of the alphabet and all the combinations of the letters. But he would write nothing but names of Krishna. Krishna Govinda Vanamali Murari. A great miracle. Jagannath Mishra at this time decided to perform the sacred thread ceremony for his child, Gauranga. And they brought many, many great learned Brahmins and devotees, and they chanted suitable mantras and performed various sacrifices. And then Jagannath Mishra awarded the sacred thread to his son Nimai. And Anantashesha himself personally incarnated in the form of that thread to always serve so closely to the body of his eternal master, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During the sacred thread ceremony, Nimai Pandit assumed his form of Lord Vamanadev. And he charmed the hearts of everyone. At that time, the wives of the demigods came down to give gifts as he was begging charity. He went to all of his devotees' homes to receive alms. And in this way, the Supreme Personality of God had performed his pastimes of Lord Vamanadeva by accepting the sacred thread. Jagannath Mishra asked Nimai who he would like to be his teacher. And Nimai indicated to him Gangadas Pandit. Gangadas Pandit was an incarnation of Sandipani Muni, who was the teacher of Krishna Balaram in the Lord's previous Leela. When Jagannath Mishra came to the ashram of Gangadas Pandit, he entrusted his son to him. And when Gangadas Pandit heard these beautiful words that I am giving my son to you to educate, Gangadas explained that it is the greatest fortune to have a student endowed with such virtues and good qualities. I will give him everything, everything I know and everything I have within my heart. In this way, Nimai became the favorite pupil of Gangadas Pandit. In fact, Gangadas Pandit always kept Nimai right at his side. And any time he heard anything once from his teacher, he would remember it and never forget. And within days of his study, he was presenting logical arguments to his teacher and all of the students in the class, and nobody could answer them. And then he would answer it. And everyone was struck with wonder. How could he answer such a difficult question? And everything he says is perfectly on the basis of logic and Shastra and philosophy. And then he would tear that argument, he would tear that thesis to pieces. Then everyone understood that what he said is wrong. We cannot establish the truth. He has completely annihilated it. And then he would annihilate the annihilation and reestablish that truth. And Gangadas Pandit was so proud, and the students were so amazed, astonished. How could anyone be so learned as he? Between the classes, all the children would play in the holy river Ganges. It is a wonderful story. Because during Krishna's Leela, Krishna enjoyed so many personal, intimate sports with his friends in the sacred waters of the holy river Jamuna, in the divine land of Brajbhumi. He would play with his friends, the cowherd boys and cows, by bathing in Jamuna, by drinking water of Jamuna, by playing games in Jamuna. And during the holy Ras Lila with the gopis, they would have so many wonderful conjugal sports in the beautiful waters of the sacred Jamuna. And during that time, Ganga Mayi began to worship Krishna and offer prayers that Jamuna Devi, she is serving you with such intimate love in your pastimes. I will perform tapasya. I will offer prayers and worship you that I can get the same benediction as the river Jamuna. In order to fulfill the prayers of Ganga Devi, the Supreme Lord Krishna appeared in the form of Gaur Hari to perform the exact identical same pastimes in her holy waters in Navadvip. And Mother Ganges was so extremely grateful that the Lord had fulfilled her dream, her innermost desires. And as Lord Chaitanya bathed in Ganga, she would create beautiful waves. And with these waves, Ganga Mai was embracing the Lord. And she would offer beautiful lotus flowers as an expression of her love and devotion to the Lord. One morning, Jagannath Mishra suddenly got out of his bed and began to cry, "Krishna, Krishna, please do not take my son away. Please keep Nimai at home." And Sachi Mata, she asked her husband, "Why you are speaking these words so early in the morning? What is the problem? I have never seen you like this before." Jagannath Mishra replied, "Last night, I had an extraordinary dream. In this dream, I saw our son Nimai. He had a shaved head. He was in the robes of a sannyasi. His arms were raised. Tears were flowing from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. And he was loudly chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna."
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
He was dancing madly as if he was intoxicated with love of God. "And then I saw this beautiful form of our son as a sannyasi. He was surrounded by Advaitacharya and all of the Vaishnavas. They were worshipping him. He was sitting on the beautiful serpent, Anantashesha. And he was extending his feet. And all the devotees and the devatas were coming and placing his feet on their heads. And Brahma was chanting his glories with his four mouths. And Shiva was chanting his glories with his five mouths. And Anantashesha was chanting his glories with 1,000 mouths. And then I saw our son surrounded by thousands of millions of people. He was dancing. And he was inducing millions upon millions of people to raise their arms, and they were loudly calling out the holy names of Lord Krishna."
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
"Go Mahaprabhu ki. And he was dancing and singing, and this kirtan, it filled the entire universe with the sound of the holy name. It extended beyond Brahma Loka. I saw our child inducing the whole universe to chant the holy name. And he was leading them all to the holy place of Jagannath Puri. Sachi Devi, I fear our son will leave us as Vishwarup has done and take sannyas. If he does so, how will we survive? Sachi Mata replied that our child will not leave us. He loves us so dearly, and he's so happy with his studies. Why would he leave home? It was just a dream. Please do not take it seriously, my dear husband. Some days after this, Jagannath Mishra, who was suffering in the ecstatic love of the imminent separation from his son, came down with a very high fever. And it appeared inevitable that he would not survive. At that time, Sachi Mata and all of the friends and relatives gathered around and were weeping and crying. Nimai approached them. He began to preach to his mother that in this material world, everything is temporary. Nothing survives. Even Brahma and Shiva have their end of their lives in this universe. Even the great mountains called the Himalayas are only here for some time. Everything is temporary. This is the arrangement of the Supreme Lord Krishna. That sometimes we are brought together and sometimes we are separated. But everything happens by the will of the Lord, my Lord, so my mother, so you should not lament. And then Nimai induced everyone to gather around my father and everyone chant the holy names. By his inspiration, all the relatives and all the friends of the family began to have beautiful kirtan around Jagannath Mishra. And then Nimai himself, with tears in his eyes, he clasped the lotus feet of his father and he began to speak. My dear father, why are you leaving me? Why are you going out of your home? I am your child. If you leave, who will protect me? Who will hold me by the hand? Who will teach me what is right and what is wrong? My dear father, why are you leaving us? In this way, Nimai wept at the imminent departure of his father. And Sachi Devi spoke that Vishwarup has left me, and now you are leaving me. If you leave me, my dear husband, please do not leave me behind. Take me with you. I desire not to live. And in the presence of the beautiful chanting of the holy names, Jagannath Mishra spoke to his son Nimai. He said, "My child, I am departing for the spiritual world. I will no longer be here to protect you. And you may not even remember me after some time. So on this day, I am dedicating you to the protection of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna." And then Jagannath Mishra gave up his life, and his eternal soul returned to the spiritual world. All of the relatives and Nimai himself began to cry, as he did in the form of Lord Sri Ramchandra when he heard the news of the departure of his beloved father, Dasarath. They performed the necessary funeral ceremony. And Nimai began to console his mother, Sachi Devi. Said, "My dear mother, please do not be sad. Everything happens by the will of Krishna. But you have me, and I will never leave you." Upon seeing the beautiful face of Nimai, Sachi Mata became so filled with ecstatic love that she forgot all of her grief. How could grief be present in the presence of the beautiful darshan of Lord Gaurasundar? Sachi Mata felt that all I have left in my life is this one son. And she simply wanted him to be happy. She would let him do anything as long as he was happy. She would give everything, her whole life. She lived only for his happiness. One day, Gaurasundar, our Lord, he asked Sachi Devi that, "I am going to take bath in Ganga. I want to worship Ganga. Please give me a malaki and a garland." Sachi Mata said, "I have to go to get a garland. I will have it for you in one moment." When he heard the word, "one moment," he became outraged. "One moment! I want now! One moment!" And then he picked up a stick and he started beating it and beating it. He broke every pot in the house. And then he started beating all the bags with the food until they were broken and torn. And when every pot and every piece of furniture and everything was broken to pieces, he started beating the walls. Then he started beating the doors. Then he started beating the windows. And when he broke everything, there was nothing left in the house to break, he went outside and started beating trees. Then he started beating the earth itself. Then he fell asleep. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! And as he was sleeping, Sachi Mata was hiding. As he was just beating like death personified, destroying everything, she was hiding in fear. But he would never, never touch his mother in any way but a gentle embrace. So when he fell asleep, she went and made the garland. And then she came back and she began to touch her child and said, "Nimai, wake up. I have brought your garland. It is very good that you have destroyed everything in the house, because by doing so, all dangers have flown away. Here is your garland. Here is your amalaki. Now please go to the Ganga." So Nimai woke up, but he felt somewhat embarrassed when he saw what he had done. And then he went and he worshipped the Ganges, bowing down before her, bathing in her, worshipping her. Then he came back. He worshipped Tulsi and circumambulated Tulsi. Then he worshipped the deity of Lord Vishnu. Then he came out. And Sachimata had nice prasad prepared for him. And she served him with great love. And after he finished taking prasad, she said to him, "Nimai, why have you broken everything in the house? It is all yours. It is not mine. I'm only living for you. I'm only keeping this house for you. It is yours. Now you have destroyed everything, and all of the grains and all of the milk and all of the oils are ruined. And we have no money. I'm a widow. How will I feed you your next meal?" And Nimai smiled and said, "Mataji, Krishna will always provide and protect us." And then he ran out to play with his friends. And after playing with his friends, he came back. And without saying anything to his mother, from his lotus fans, he handed her 2 tolas of pure, solid gold. And Sachimata was very much surprised. Where do you get this? But he just smiled and went to play. She was thinking, where does he get this gold? Every time he does this, he breaks everything in the house. He always comes back and gives me gold. Does he steal it? How does he get it? And then she would take the gold to the market. Not to just one person. She would show it to 3, 4, 5, 6, so many people. Say, "Tell me if this is real. And if it is, you know, just give me the fair price." Nimai, in his studies, he became so aggressive to challenge everyone to debates, and no one could defeat him. Although he was a small boy, even the biggest scholars and pundits with titles like Bhattacharya, Mishra, and Chakravarti, they feared coming near him. Grown elderly gentlemen who had been studying the scriptures for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, this little teenage boy would come and argue with them and defeat them, but with great respect. One day, he approached Murari Gupta, who was one of his classmates. Murari Gupta was a Brahmin who was a Vaidya. He was coming from a caste of doctors, Ayurvedic doctors. So Nimai came to Murari Gupta and he said, "Oh Murari, what are you doing here? Why you are studying Sanskrit grammar in this school? You should go to a place where there are vines and leaves and herbs. In this school of Gangadas Pandit where we are learning, there's no mention of mucus, bile, and indigestion, so what business do you have here? You should go away." And Murari Gupta, he was very much embarrassed. Nimai said that this study of Sanskrit and philosophy is very high learning. You are a doctor. You should go back and study about mucus, bile and air. And Murari Gupta said, why you are saying like this? You ask me any question, I will give you an explanation. So Nimai said, what did we study in class today? And Murari Gupta began to explain, and everything he said, Nimai would rip it to pieces by arguments and debate. And then Murari Gupta would establish something else, and then Nimai would rip it to pieces. And in this way, they would have these very, very fierce transcendental debates, all in love and devotion. But neither could defeat the other. Murari was a great scholar. And then Murari said, why are you so arrogant that you're always challenging me? And then Nimai placed his hand on Murari Gupta's body. And when the touch of his hand came on his body, his whole body just started erupting in ecstatic, thrilling sensations. Everything was just vibrating in ecstasy. Murari Gupta was absolutely astonished. He understood, this is not an ordinary human being. And then he said to Nimai, I surrender to you. On this day, I will become your student. Sachi Mata was thinking that in order for her child to remain at home, he should become a householder. And Nimai was also thinking that I should be a householder. But what is the use of being a householder without a wife? So one day Nimai was going to the river Ganges and he saw the beautiful form of Lakshmi Devi, the daughter of Ballabhacharya, who in previous incarnations was Sita and Rukmini. And when their eyes touched each other, their eternal love was awakened. Lakshmi Devi bowed down and Nimai went to worship Ganga. Shortly after this, one Brahmin from the Navadvip Marriage Board not exactly like that, but some devotees, it is their service to help people get married. His name was Vanamali Ghatak. And he came to the house of Sachi Mata and he said, there is a very beautiful girl. Her name is Lakshmi Devi. She is none other than the goddess of fortune. She has all good qualities. And she is the daughter of the most virtuous Brahmin, Ballabhacharya. I think she would be a very fit girl to marry your son, Vishwambhar. And Sachi replied that my child, Vishwambhar, he is very young and he's so much engrossed in his studies. I do not think it is the time for his marriage. So Vanamali was feeling very disappointed that he was not successful in helping to arrange this marriage. So he was walking away. At that time, Vishvambhar was coming back from the Ganga where he had been teaching students. And he saw Vanamali and they began to talk. And Vanamali said, I proposed to your mother that you marry a girl, but she did not accept the proposal. Lord Gaurasundar did not say anything about that. They just talked some other things. And then he came home and he walked in the home of Sachi Devi and he said to her, why you didn't like what Vanamali Gathak had said? What is wrong? And when Sachi heard that, she became very blissful. Very, very blissful. And she called Vanamali and said, please now arrange the marriage. My son wants to be married. She would do anything to make her child happy. So Vanamali went to the home of Vallabhacharya. And Vallabhacharya welcomed him by giving him sitting place and giving him water and giving him prasad and sweet words of greeting. How can I serve you? Vanamali said, I have come with a very, very wonderful proposal that Vishvambhar, the crest jewel of all Brahmins, he will be a very nice husband for your daughter Lakshmi Devi. And when Vallabhacharya heard this, he became very happy. He discussed it with their relatives and they all unanimously agreed that what greater fortune for our whole family to have a son like Vishvambhar. Tell Sachi Mata, we wholeheartedly agree. And then he came back and then all the arrangements for the wonderful marriage were made. And on the day of the wedding, there was the Adivas, where Vishvambhar was giving Abhishek and dressed in wonderful decorated clothes and he was giving so much gifts to the Brahmins and to the relatives and to everyone. And it was a wonderful feast of prasad. Then they made a nice palanquin and they took Vishvambhar on procession to the house of Vallabhacharya. And there He was welcomed by Vallabhacharya and his wife. They washed his feet. They honored him with Padya and Ardya and Madhupark and all of the auspicious offerings. Then they brought Lakshmi and they first glanced upon one another and then they exchanged garlands and the demigods and the heavenly planets were coming and showering flowers upon this beautiful marriage. And there was wonderful dancing and singing and Brahmins chanting mantras. And in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Gaurahari, was married to his eternal consort, Lakshmi Devi. And after all of the ceremonies and festivities, Vallabhacharya bade farewell to his daughter. And there was a procession back to the house of Sachi Devi, where she received them and offered aarti to the divine couple and served them with so much love and devotion. It is explained that that Lakshmi Devi, when Sachi Devi would see her in the house, sometimes she was so brilliant with light, she appeared to be a most illustrious flame. And sometimes the whole house would be filled with the fragrance of lotus flowers. Sachi Mata understood that this daughter was none other than Lakshmi herself. Sachi Mata's bliss, her joy, would know no bounds.